Welcome to another podcast at BibleTruthOnline.com. We are wrapping up our study on Philippians with chapter 4. Therefore, my beloved and longed for brethren, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. I implore Euodia and I implore Syntyche to be on the same mind in the Lord. And I urge you also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life.
Just quickly, there are women that labored with him in the gospel. You know, for a Jew to say this is pretty important, that the woman will be in the book of life. Their names are in the book of life.
Separately.
They're not a lower subspecies or subclass anymore. They labor in the gospel. They're in a book. Their names are in the book of life.
Mm-hmm. One more point to that, too. Why are they in there? Because we're no longer concerned about the body. So whatever you consider a woman to be, we're past that. Body may belong to the husband, but believe me, the soul and spirit now belong somewhere else.
Mm-hmm. And Clement, an early church father, the story goes that one of the babies that Jesus blessed in his ministry was Clement when he was a baby. So he mentions him here, and Clement's around at this time.
And he's with Paul.
Right.
Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. Again I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God.
Yep. It's okay. A good point to stop there, because prayer and supplication, and let your requests be known to God. And we talked about this before. When we're praying, we're communicating to Christ.
Well, first thing is, who we are is we're, back to that same point, we're a bondservant. We're bought by Him, we're owned by Him, we're praying to Him, we're talking to Him, just like we're a servant talking to the owner of a store. Okay, we're talking to the owner of the store with supplication. These are the requests that we have so that we can get the job done.
Right, which takes some thought. Okay, it's not a blind, oh, why don't you just give me a church because I think I'll do a good job. Well, think it through. God knows, this is my point here, God knows everything that you're going to do in your life. He sees that.
You're not going to say something to him and he's going to be like, I had no idea you wanted that.
Right.
I had no idea that was something you desired.
Right, and the desire on this thing is, you know what, I'm trying to get across the street, and I'm trying to do it in a half hour's time, okay? I need a car. He's like, no, I have something coming up for you. Okay, there are other ways. It doesn't necessarily mean the car, it doesn't necessarily mean like that. It means stopping and allowing God to walk with you through the problem.
What I'm getting at, too, is if God knows everything, then why do you have to let your request be known to Him?
So that you know it.
Right. That's my point. It can be disappointing to some that they feel they pray and they let their request be known to God over and over and over again, and God just doesn't seem to be answering them. It's not the point. That's a selfish, self-will look, way of looking at it.
Or it's also God telling you, do you really want it? Do you really want it? Are you really going to give me the glory?
The glory is the point.
Are you going to give me the glory when I do this? Or are you going to go, oh yeah, well, you know, by chance that happened. Okay, you know, he's letting you find out that, no, it can't happen any other way unless I make it happen. Mm-hmm. Okay, you've tried this, you've tried that, you've tried this, you've waited. Now, I'm going to act, and you'll know it's me.
Well, your request test would be, let your request be known on a selfish, self-will level, and one that glorifies God, and see which one's answered. That's a good test right there.
Right, and remembering that if you're coming to him as his bondservant, bought by him, stuff like this, you're already in this. You don't have to beg.
Right.
You're already his. If you're already his, it's not that level.
Yep.
We'll continue with verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things.
And that word is in, stop there, the word meditate is in this version of the New King James. My other New King James says, think on these things. It's obviously been a translational problem for the writers of these books, what word to properly use. Meditate is a good word to use if taken in the correct context. And my point on this is, in modern day, meditation is viewed as some sort of self-help tool. Of you think of meditation as pondering, centering all your thoughts on one thing and concentrating on that. And a lot of times people will report how relaxed they feel, or they might even go into an out-of-body experience. Totally not what this is talking about. This is being a bondservant trying to look at the things of the Spirit.
And it's from that point of view that you're looking at this thing with those spiritual eyes. You're thinking on it. You're dwelling on it. You're looking a little bit to the right of it, a little bit to the left of it, a little bit up, a little bit down. You're kind of testing it out to see exactly what it is. You're working your way with Him through it.
Right.
It's almost more like a studying, too.
Yeah.
Not quite the right word, but
probing.
Not, right.
Dwelling into, grabbing it, twisting
right.
it, finding out what's it made of.
Right.
Discovering it.
This verse has been used, too, in comparative religion classes to show the universality between Christianity and other Eastern religions. And I'm telling you, those other Eastern religions do not recognize Jesus Christ as any type of creator, possibly a good and wise teacher, which is absolutely anti-gospel. Okay? So, being a bondservant and having been born of the Holy Spirit through the fire of baptism, you're able to ponder on those things which come from God, okay?
Through a
big
spiritual
mind.
Yeah.
Big difference. Not if you're living in the body, have not been born again, pondering on, everyone can ponder on lovely things, okay? There's a big difference between that and being born again and pondering on these things.
Go back to where you were starting to read each one of those things.
Whatever these things are true.
Okay, what's true? What's true to the body and what's true to the spirit? They can be two different things. What's the next one?
Whatever things are noble.
What's noble? The body tells you, I have done a good thing. Okay, the spirit tells you, there's nothing you ever could have done that was good. At best, you could have done what you should have done. At best. Okay, the spirit says, you're the bondservant, let Christ and the Holy Spirit work through you to get these things done in the correct manner. What's the next one?
Whatever things are just.
What's just? What could man ever do that's just? All man deserve to die. So a man that deserves to die is going to give me some justice? How? There's nothing just about it. But in the spirit, we've all done this. We all have a creator. We all have somebody who redeemed us and saved us. Therefore, I can give you justice because I can back away going, I don't need a pound for a pound. I don't need an eye for an eye.
Right.
Okay? What's the next one?
Whatever things are pure.
What's pure? What's pure in the flesh? The whole concept of purity in flesh is stupid. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It only exists in the spirit. So if you're looking with these fleshly eyes, it doesn't work.
Right.
Next one?
Whatever things are lovely.
Okay? You look at the flesh, you look at man, oh, that's lovely, that's this. That's sin, that's going to perish, that's going to die.
Mm-hmm.
It's only the spirit that lives on.
Whatever things are of good report.
Okay? The flesh has no good report. The report of the flesh is, it's wrong, it's corrupt, it's going to die. The good report of the spirit is, it's going to live on forever. So see, there really are two different ways of looking at it.
If there's any virtue, and if there's anything praiseworthy.
Okay, well, there's nothing. A virtue is the same as the rest. There's no virtue in man. Anything that's corrupt and dying, okay, there's no virtue in it. Okay, anything that is redeemed, put on that altar, that has become the gold, that is going to go to heaven, it's got all the virtue in the world. Because it's not the virtue of the thing, it's the virtue of who owns the thing. Christ owns me, Christ owns my work, Christ owns everything about me. And through Him, it's all virtuous.
Mm-hmm.
What was the last one?
Praiseworthy.
Everything He's done is praiseworthy because everything He has done is going to last. Okay? It's only perfect. He doesn't even let... The things that I do that are not praiseworthy, those things of the flesh, once again, they're of the flesh, they're all going to burn up and blow away anyway. Mm-hmm. Okay? So it's two different aspects of looking at it.
And then just to finish off, meditate on these things, which we discussed, what meditation is in this verse.
Yeah, if you're in the flesh and you're going to ponder on things through the fleshly eyes, you're not going to get far. What are you going to meditate and get out of concerning virtue?
Because things are corrupt. Or you're going to make up your own
You're going to make up your own. Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to drop it. You're going to drop virtue down into a level you can understand.
Right. Virtue would be the homeless man down the street, $5. That was virtuous. To you.
You mean anything of yourself? It's like, at best, it's what you should have done. Yeah. Okay? At best. The trouble is you have a death sentence on you. You have a death sentence on you, and you give the man down the street $5. Good for you. Yes. It's what you ought to have done. Well, you're still going to die. Okay, it just doesn't cover the bill.
Continue at verse 9. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you.
It's a promise. It's a promise Paul makes.
And Paul is, if you go back to the beginning, you remember Paul says a bondservant. Okay, Paul's not saying, look at all the wonderful things I've done. He goes, Paul, a bondservant, forgive me, I'm owned by him. And through him, look at what he has done.
Yep.
Okay, not through me, through him.
That promise is still open for us today, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You can still be a bondservant. You can still be reborn. In fact, that's the only way.
Mm-hmm. God will be with you.
Yes.
So, nice promise.
Verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be content.
And that's an important state to reach. We, especially in the Western countries, seem to be discontent with everything. You always want more. More of this, more of that. Need a better job, more money,
and even
bigger
our,
house. I mean, it's almost like this dog-eat-dog world. If you don't remain in a state of discontent, then you're not going to become at all competitive with the other people around you. Mm-hmm. And it's totally anti-spirit. It's being forced to live in the flesh, and yet you learn to be content, like Paul did, being born again with the Spirit leading you.
When you talk about this nation, though, you talk about how we have these material things and that.
Mm-hmm.
Look at our giving. Even in our giving, we're giving things to make you happier. We're giving you things. Our gifts are to make you more fleshly.
Mm-hmm.
We're not giving anything spiritual. Here, let's clothe all the people of Africa. Good point, okay? But let's get them reborn so that God's promises will carry through and they can be content in whatever they have instead of us just trying to make the body warm that's going to die anyway.
That's one side I wanted to bring up. The other side is for those that have been born again in spirit, that there are times that you'll be discontent. And it's interesting that Paul says, in whatever state I am. So he's confirming that he goes through different states of mind.
He gets depressed.
We all have that experience, so it's a time for us to share experience with Paul that on my spiritual path, I have also been discontent. I want the Spirit to do more for me, you know?
Well, and
I've also learned through time and through suffering through those states that I need to be content, and that's given to me by the Spirit. There's nothing that I've done to that point except to pray and release my will over to the Lord's.
It's also, when you go through some of these points, there's nothing, you can't witness somebody any better than when you've gone through it yourself.
Mm-hmm.
When you've gone through it yourself, you can turn to that person going, I know. And the person looks back in your eyes, and they look in your eyes, and they see, you know. You know what I'm going through. And yet, you can get through it, because if you belong to God, you're exactly where God put you. You're going through this trial exactly. No trial hits you that he doesn't allow to happen.
Well, and think of what he went through. None of us have been bound in chains for preaching the gospel.
Not yet.
Not yet.
It's coming.
But, I mean, at this point in our lives, everything Paul's been through is worse, and he can still say he's content.
And when we get back to Jesus, very few of us have sweated blood.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Very few of us have been beat like Paul has been beat. Okay? But even confronting those circumstances, if you're going to confront those circumstances with only the strength of the body, there's no way to get through it. With the spirit, there's a way. But with my body, go ahead and beat me. Mm-hmm. Are you stupid? Okay, with the spirit, it's like, oh, get rid of that thing. It's dying anyway, man. To live with God, that's where I want to be anyway. Mm-hmm. Kill the body. Let it go.
Verse 12, I know how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need.
See, it's not only just the poorness. You also can't let the riches take you away either. Mm-hmm. Okay, you can have everything you need, and you're still focused in on what you need to be focused in on. In this time of bountiful production and stuff, you're still exactly where God put you. And when you're poor and desolate and stuff, you're still exactly where God put you. The thing is you're right there with God, no matter what. Use what you have. Get by with what you got. Okay? And make prayer and supplication. It's all the same story. Whether you're on top, bottom, or in the middle, it's all the same thing. You're going to live as long as God wants you to live. Okay? And your poorness can't stop it. Your riches can't help it.
Verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's proven the point.
Statement again.
Once again, you're the bondservant of him. It's not you doing anything. You're the bondservant of him. He has all the supplication in the world. You can do all things because whatever he wants done, he'll get it done.
Verse 14, nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Now you Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church shared with me concerning giving and receiving, but you only. For even in Thessalonica, you sent aid once and again for my necessities.
It should be said here, too, that this church of Philippi, this is the poorest church in the region. They went to Paul. What Paul's talking about here is when they sent him out, Paul said, okay, I have enough. And they stopped him, and they begged him to give him more. Then when he went out with an overabundance of stuff, they sent more to him again. Okay? They're the ones who supported Paul. Okay? There is a love here that goes well beyond all these other churches and that. These people get it. They're the poorest. That's why Paul's back with these people. Hey, we're going to send the person we sent with you. We're going to send you Timothy. I'm going to try to get my way back with you. Hey, you know what? There's joy. I want to see your face light up because I know who you are. You know who I am. We are brothers. We are in this together. I'm your teacher. So be it. You're the students. We're all one. I'm an arm. You're a toe. It doesn't matter. We're all one body. Mm-hmm. This is the core church. More churches should look at this church than any of the rest of them.
What was said about this church, too?
This is the church that always brings the most praise from God and stuff like that. When Paul's talking in that, Paul always refers back to this church. Now, Paul loves the Corinthian church, okay, but he has to keep going back and babysitting them. Okay, this church here that didn't get any of the spiritual gifts and stuff, they're the ones that keep performing. Okay, whenever there's a need, they're the ones that are stepping up. They're the ones that, okay, I need $5. They're like, Paul, we can get you 10. We stay here. We can get you 13. Okay? If you wait one more minute, we'll get you 14. Let me go find some. I'll sell it. We'll make it 15. And Paul's like, hey, I only need 5. And I can get 3 from these guys. They're like, no, we got it all. Forget those people. Mm-hmm. We got it all.
Continue on 17. Not that I seek the gift, but I seek the fruit that abounds to your account. Indeed, I have all and abound. I am full, having received from Epaphroditus the things sent from you, a sweet-smelling aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God.
So he's not talking about here. Remember Paul's, that we go back to, Paul was talking about himself as a drink offering being poured out, and we already showed you that it really is a sweet aroma. Mm-hmm. The sweet aroma here is not Paul's blood being laid out. The drink, the true drink offering of this message in here is these people look, we're on the message path. This is it. We're going to support you. We got you. Okay, and you need some more? Let us find something to sell. We'll do it. Okay? This is one body working together. These people are, look, if the arm can't lift it, I'll use my leg to lift it up for you. It's one body working together to get this job done. They love Paul. Paul loves Sam. Everybody's in. This is one body working together. Okay? They want to see Paul back quickly. They know Paul's doing the job. But Paul, if you get the chance, man, come back here. We just want to say, you know what? We want to have dinner with you. Isn't this what Jesus is doing in heaven? Look, keep going, because the party that's coming at the end, it's going to be well worth it. We're not going to go up to that thing going, good and faithful servant, you qualified to come have a dinner with me. Now, this dinner at the end is just like this church here. It's like, you know what? It's good to see you. It won't matter whether you had soup, bread, or steaks. It doesn't matter. It's well beyond all that stuff. You're going to have the best, but it's well beyond that.
Verse 19, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Now to our God and Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you.
Okay, let's stop right there on the saint. We've been talking about heaven and earth. Does man have to appoint a saint? Does man have to do something physically to become sainted? No. These reborn people, these bond servants who belong to Jesus, these are the saints. Sanctified. Put on the altar for the service of him, the master. These become bond servants. These are the saints. It's no man-made thing. It's no physical thing. It's a spiritual thing. It's pushing the point here, but it's like, you should hear it here. You should hear it every time you hear the word saint. Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm a saint. Okay, I've left over for him. If you want my body to do something good for you, it doesn't matter. It's got to be through the Spirit. He can do all things through me. Okay, not because there's anything good in me, but because of him. Okay, I failed in the body. Okay, let the Spirit, let him do it. It's better.
Verse 22, all the saints greet you, but especially those who are of Caesar's household. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen.
Okay, and Caesar's household, the ones of Caesar's household, just a little side note, those are relatives of Paul. That's who he's talking about. He's letting them know that me, my family, or your family, we're all one here. Mm-hmm. Any last points? If you look at it too, how much does Paul love this church? He's sending his spiritual son, Timothy. Special greetings from the house of Caesar, Paul's own personal family. Epaphroditus came from you. I love this guy. I really need him. I'm sending him back to you because I know it's going to make you happy. It's going to make him happy. It's going to make you happy. And that happiness is going to make me happy. You know, This is a very good book to look at the way it's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm. He says over and over, you have suffered with me. You have served the way I have instructed you through God. You have done all of these things. It's praise. It's a lot of praise.
This book right here should really kind of slap in the face and wake up some of these modern denominations.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if you're not going off of this guy, look at yourself with your own little political agendas, and look at this church here. Boy, if you're not lined up with it, if you want the best church, this is the best church right here. Okay, the Church of Jerusalem. No, that's not what's being said here. This is the church that's doing it correctly. Okay, take a good look at this. You know, let it sink in. Let it go to your heart. This is the way it's supposed to be. Bond servants, not above you. Bond servants, owned by him. Everyone in here, from the lowest person here, to the one that helped Paul, to Paul himself, to the people that Paul is sending, the whole theme of this church is, a good church should really emphasize the fact, bond servant. Not of myself, I'm owned by him, controlled by him. That's the point of this book.
Mm-hmm.
I think that pretty well concludes our study of the book of Philippians. We'll see you next time.